The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. How's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I've been good. I am preparing for like basically every, this is the year of fuck it. So I am doing something almost every quarter that is huge and difficult. And I just got back from tour. It took me a long time to like organize everything from there. And now I am getting ready to shoot a short film in June. And then after that, I got a crowdfund to like be able to finish the film. Then I'm going to Edinburgh. Then I'm going to work on a big night for Misfit Variety Show at Brooklyn Art House September 28th. So it's just kind of like I'm looking at all that and I'm like, I know I can handle it. I am used to doing a lot of different things at once. And I'm also used to just putting in the work, the grind. But I just have to like believe in myself in a new way that I can make sometimes like decisions that are, you know, like have to be done, like a lot of really big decisions quickly. My ability to be able to like step up to the plate in all those circumstances. It's the first time I'm lead producing something. I've produced lots of other stuff, but it's like a serious film. And I mean, it's a comedy film, but like it's not like an internet video. And I think there's a different standard there and a different expectation. So there's a lot of things I want to get right. And I guess I just got to like do the best I can and just know that I'm going to keep learning always. And that's the thing. I was talking to someone today and they were talking about this, the whole peaking thing. It's become a trend on TikTok, people talking about peaking in high school. And I've been ranting about this for a long time and I'm going to actually start ranting about it more, is that basically like you should never peak. If you peak, you're doing something wrong, because that means that like, what, like some time was like your best time ever? Like you should always be aspiring to improve and make it the best time ever. I hope you didn't peak, because that would suck. That means you fucked up or life fucked you, either and or. But I just feel like high school, some people say high school was the best time of your life. I was like, whoa, what are you doing with yourself? Like, how is high school the best time of your life? Like, how do you just like sit and just sit there and go, yeah, that was the best time of my life. And I'm not going to make any effort in making today the best time of my life. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, so I'm trying to make, obviously from the year of fuck it, I'm making this the best time of my life. I mean, it's difficult, but I'm going to keep going and keep pushing. And everything's always better in retrospect too. Like, oh, like even the pandemic, people are now starting to talk about it with nostalgia. Like, oh, that was such a great time. It was such a special time. It was like, my God, that time. You know, when you're in it, it's always more difficult. So I don't even know if if peaking is even real. Maybe it's in your head is the other thing. It's just because it's in your head, it's easier to think that like at some point everything aligned, but really nothing ever did. It was always fucked up. Let me know what you think about that. Peaking, coming soon. A lot more stuff. I also found out I had to redo my TikTok account. Oh, I had some influencer videos go super viral. Problem is, influencer not wearing a lot of clothes. So it went down a porn hole. I met with someone who like knows what they're talking about in terms of this stuff. And she was just like, yeah, you're not going to be able to get your content to the right people. So I have to redo. I have to start a new account. Yeah. All right. It's all a process. So by the way, before we get to an interview, quick reminder to rate and review the podcast, because social proof is important for Misfits, because Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. Also, you can sign up for monthly updates and recaps at laurenlogi.com, L-O-G-I.com. And you can also sponsor a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals or companies. And we'll put it out every other week-ish, and we'll put it out more if we have some sponsorship. So to do that, you go to laurenlogi.com, click on listen and podcast, and contact us there. before I tell you about our wonderful interview, we have another podcast shout out. Yay! Yes, we are making podcast friends. And this week, I'd like to shout out Last Two Brain Cells. It's a semi-educational podcast run by two microphone-wielding baboons named Austin and Donovan. So whether through true tales of the past, charming personal anecdotes, or experimental soundscapes, they'll always bring you a fresh reprieve from a highfalutin world of serious adult life. And as someone who studies clown, and I hang out with a lot of clowns, and I integrate clown into stand-up, and I do clown bits. I just love the fact that stupidity is on display. I love stupid. Things are too serious. Let's get dumb. So you're invited to come on over and laugh at Last Two Brain Cells podcast, which is available on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So let's get to the interview with Maureen Azian. Well, this is the debate in the podcast because she is changing the pronunciation of her name. In French, it would be Aziante for Americans because we're dumb and we need help with spelling. And I say Aziette because I am dumb. All right. So I love Maureen. I talk about it in the podcast. I know her from a writing class, and she is a dynamo when it comes to creating. I mean, she's always, always pushing herself, always writing something new, undaunted by challenges, just a super go-getter. And it's been exciting to watch her series, her web series, Check Please, has played at 85,000 festivals all over the world. And she has a new series. It's a web mini series, I guess we could call it. It's a web series with like mini social media clips. I guess these are all new media stuff. She has a series and it's freaking funny. It's called Mom to Be, and it's about like pregnancy, which people don't talk about enough. And with such humor and empathy, and she filmed herself as she was going through a pregnancy, which is so brave and so cool. And I'm really excited to share with you all of her secrets for her madness, how she is a misfit and she is making it. So let's welcome the interview with Maureen Aziante. All right. Well, thank you, Maureen Aziette, for coming on to Misfits Making It. My French accent's getting in the my Aziette. Did I say it right? Aziette.
Yeah.
Aziette. I'm learning. Je prends un peu de le français. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's awful. You're really nice. Okay. So, all right. So we met in writing class and you're like just the most humble person ever because it turns out you're up to all this cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying.
So you're a badass producer and a mom and a writer and a creator and all sorts of things. And you're French too, on top of all of that.
Yeah, I know.
You're French.
I'm French. I am.
So you're from France. Why did you come here? Why are you here?
You know, I mean, New York is a dream, right? I mean, for me, it was. Right. I mean, there's a lot of people here, so it's not for no reason. But yeah, I don't know. I've always dreamed of living in the US. So I guess, yeah, just.
And how long ago was it that you came?
I moved 9 years ago now.
Wow. 1 year and you're a real New Yorker.
I know. It's been a while. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Wow. And so you were like, I'm coming to New York. I'm doing it. And then the thing is, amazing thing is you came here and you like, with such an American spirit, if I may say, because Americans are all about like, get out and do it. And you have the get out and do it ethos.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I like New York. I love the energy of New York. I just love it. But yeah, no, I moved. I had the opportunity to move. And I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Wow. Hell yeah. And then what brought you here? Like, what was the opportunity that brought you here?
So weirdly. So I met this guy who's now my husband, but back in Paris. Yeah, we met in Paris. So I didn't know he was, he had a green card or he had like any relationship with New York. So we just meet, you know, it's doing pretty well. And then he's like, so I need to go to New York maybe to just finish my PhD. Do you mind if I go for like 8 months or 6 months? I'm like, no, that's fine. We'll go back and forth, you know. You know, I'll meet him in New York, just travel. And then at the end of his internship, he's like, well, they might, you know, want me to, I mean, they might hire me. What do you think? I'm like, yes, I'm in. Let's do this.
Wow. You came here, you saw the rats running around and you were like, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. Exactly. So yeah, I was like, well, that was meant to be, I guess. I didn't really ask for it, but yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're with a Frenchie here.
Well, yeah, he's French, but now he's also American, but so his parents used to live in New York and then they got divorced and his mom went back in France. So his dad was still in New York. He has some family there. So, you know, he had some history with New York, but I didn't really know that before we met. Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow. It all came to you. Just attracted it. The law of attraction. You just were like,
yeah, I think so, to be honest.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And then, so then you're here and then you start making stuff like immediately.
Well, I started, I went back to school here because I wanted a proper American acting, you know, training. So I went to Michael Howard's studio in New York. I did like 2 years and a half also to make new contact because I didn't know anybody there. Yeah. So I needed to just build a new network from scratch. And yeah, I mean, it took a while, to be honest, to get my green card and all the paperwork and everything. So I started to make my own stuff because I didn't want to wait for, you know, forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's just no, like, that's the thing is like, yeah. I think this is, oh, sorry, that's the clown horn. I meant to do applause. Where is that one? No, that's not applause. I thought I had applause. You think I'd have applause as an entertainer, but no, I guess not. Okay. So yeah, because that's the thing. You can't wait. Like in this town, you just realize like, wow, when you are making stuff, you hold a lot of power because you also are employing other people who need you.
Yeah.
It's in everything. It's with acting. It's with comedy. It's with like legitimately everything. When you're the one like saying yes and no to stuff, people treat you differently.
Yeah. And I think people are very, they're very impressed about people. Like when we do actually make stuff, like it really impresses people, I think, which is good.
Right. Right. Because so many people talk like, I'm a gonna. What is Whitney Cummings said? Like when someone says, I'm a gonna write a screenplay, she's like, you're not gonna write anything. Yeah. Pretty much.
I know. I'm like, just do it. Just do it. Don't talk too much. Just do it.
Right. Don't talk too much. So now I love, like, you're so French. You just totally glossed over. You're like, yeah, I made stuff. Yeah. But you made stuff and it did well.
Yeah. I mean, I made my first, I created a web series called Check Please back in 2020, right before the pandemic and during the pandemic. And I created that with a friend. And yeah, we just produced it. And it was great because we learned so many things. We learned all the production side. We learned starting to learn how to write, like how to manage a team, everything. It was such a great experience. So yeah, we did that. And now I'm doing like a mini web series called Mom to Be. So it doesn't involve that many people. But when I was pregnant with my second child, I was like, yeah, let's record everything, kind of like mini sketches, 30 seconds videos.
Yeah.
And we did that at my place. I just like wrote stuff and I had my director and my DP and that was it. And we filmed almost like every month to get all the progression.
Oh, wow. So you would do a bunch of videos at once then? You would write a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. We usually one day of shoot, we were shooting like 7 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. And we did like 69 total.
Holy shit.
I know. That's a good amount.
And then did you edit it yourself or did you have?
So my editor is my director. So she does the editing because I hate editing. That's I really hate doing that.
I hear that. I hate, despise editing. Yeah. I feel like editing is just asking to have to buy more shit. Like, you always need a bigger computer, more RAM, more hard drives. It's just so fresh. Yeah. And then every day, and then the new programs, the new everything.
Yeah. I'm bad at it. Also, I don't like to just look at myself all the time over and over and over. So I'm like, yeah, you just do it. I trust you. I'm not picky. It's fine. And she's so good at it. And she's so fast. So yeah, it ended up working very well. So yeah.
So why mom to be? Like, what about, other than you had a subject, you were actually able to show pregnancy literally happening before your eyes. Yeah. Like, you, what else inspired it?
Well, so that was my second baby. So I had a first baby, and I just thought we should talk, you know, more about pregnancy and all the aspects of pregnancy. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff that is not glamorous at all, but we never talk about. And I feel like we don't know that much. And especially if you don't have around you some pregnant friends at the same time, you can feel super lonely. So I thought that could be a good way to just, you know, talk about pregnancy, every aspect of it, in a light way and funny way, because I think pregnant women are funny, to be honest. Yeah. For me, it's like a funny thing. You know, you're like big and there's so many things happening in your body and hormones everywhere. I mean, it's just a roller coaster of emotions. And hell yeah.
So how soon after you got pregnant did you decide to do the web series?
So I knew we wanted to try for another baby, so I called my friend director and I was like, so I have this project in mind, I don't know how long it's gonna take for me to get pregnant, but just so you know, be prepared, that's what I want to do, we'll see. And then it happened pretty fast this time, so pretty quickly. So I was like, okay, let's do it. Now we don't have time.
Wow. So, you're like, it depends on how much, like, my husband's sperm game is on.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love it. And then, so you knew, you were like, I'm going to do something. And then you're like, we're going to do it. And then you just did it.
Yeah. Which was great, because you have to have a deadline. I mean, when you're pregnant, that's like, we cannot wait, you know? So yeah. That was actually a really, you know, you have to do it. You have to shoot, you have to do it. So you cannot think too much. And we shot until when I was like about to pop out, like really a few days before my due date. And then we shot a little bit after, also like a month after, when I was like, yeah, we should shoot after the pregnancy, the postpartum, you know, because I look like shit. It's horrible. I think we should talk about that too. So let's do it.
Very cool. And then does your other kid know, like, does your other kid watch this? Like, as
yeah, it's he, like, he looks at it, like, he watches them, not all of them, but like, he likes it. It's like, oh, it's mommy. And one day, actually, we were shooting and he was supposed to be at school. And I don't know what happened. Like, the school was not, I mean, it was like a day off or whatever. So he happened to just film with us, like a little assistant.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah.
And your other kid could be like, that was me in there.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so fun. And what are some examples for people? Because, like, a lot of people don't understand what it is to be pregnant. So what are the craziest episodes you have?
Some of my favorites are, we talked about gas during pregnancy, because pregnant women fart all the time. Like, it's a real thing. Like, it's funny. I think it's funny. You just burp, you fart, it's a lot of gas. And, you know, it's just fun, right? And vaginal discharges, you know, all the fun stuff, glamorous, you know, you're like, yeah, it's also a real thing. Like, you have more discharges, you have, you know, all the clothes that don't fit, the back pain, like every, you know, like at the end, like swollen vagina for sure. With like, you know, it's like a real thing too. Like, nobody talks about it, but your vagina just like is way bigger and
like elephantitis of the vagina. That's
I know, right? And yeah, you have to deal with that. And wow. You know, fun wow. little stuff.
And what has been the reaction? How many have you put out online so far?
A lot, actually. I'm gonna put the the 59th or the 60th. We're almost at the end. So, yeah.
Wow. And what has been the reaction so far?
Pretty good. I mean, to be honest, people are laughing. Like when I have some pregnant women who just, or pregnant friends who come back to me, I'm like, yeah, oh my God, it's right on point. It's exactly what we're living. Like it's fun to see that because it's really in a funny way. Like it's, I'm not pretending to, you know, teach you whatever, but like it's really light. So
yeah, which we desperately need at this time. Yeah, so that's great. Yeah. That's so fun. Now, what if you're, I'm so curious because you go back to France every year, right? Every twice a year?
Yeah, even more than that. Yeah. At least okay. Once, yeah, I will say. I just
came okay. Back, yeah. Not bad. Ooh, la, la. So you're, and then so like being pregnant in the US versus being pregnant in France, because I feel like New York, you're like, people, someone's like, I'm pregnant. You're like, oh, are you going to keep it? Like, are you sure you want to do that? Well, are you sure?
I mean, I haven't, so both of my pregnancy were in New York. So I didn't really have the experience of going to the doctor in France. But New York is actually not bad at all. Like you're like the insurances are pretty good and they take care of you. I will say like, they won't in New York. I'm not talking about anywhere else in the US, but in New York, I feel like they will not leave a pregnant woman without insurance or without any medical care. So they will take care of you. So well, that's I had a pretty good experience. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if all those like terrible stats that are coming about US maternity, can we break it down by state? Because it might be telling. It might be telling.
I think so, to be honest, because I mean, like, especially for my first pregnancy, I didn't have any insurance and I was in a weird situation. I was still a student. I didn't have a green card. And I just went to this, you know, like doctor offices and they just took care of me completely. They got me an insurance. I pretty much had Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've had the New York State insurance for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was.
It was great.
It was great. I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah, I had the best, and I always found that like this is a tip for anyone else on this insurance is that like you go if you research, there's always like one person who's a specialist who like will support like. Believes in socialized medicine. So I always could find one person and you just look for the best person you could possibly get for free, basically. And you'll find one. There won't be many, but there'll be one.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like in New York, you know, there's like good hospitals and doctors. I mean, it's a huge city. Like they're pretty good. Yeah. I don't think it.
So have you gotten response from people in France about the series?
Yeah. I have a bunch of friends also who watches. And well, so the thing is, it's all voiceover. So we record it in English and in French.
Ooh.
So we have like both. On YouTube, we have both of them, both versions. On Instagram, I just put it the English one. And on Facebook, I have the French one. It's kind of a mix. But it's funny because some people who are French tells me that they prefer the English version or they're used to the English voice now. So it's kind of weird when they hear it in French. I don't know. It was
any difference in response from the English versus the French fans?
I feel like the English is like I'm reaching out to more people in English, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. That I feel.
Do the audiences respond differently?
I don't think so. Not necessarily. No. No, I didn't see that huge.
No. I just imagine like pregnancy in France being glamorous for some reason. I don't know. There's croissants involved. Maybe they're smoking. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like very, it's very different. It's very different.
No, I don't think so. I think it's kind of the same.
Like, wait, human bodies work the same no matter what nation they're in? Oh my God. Wow. Blown mind. Mine is blown.
Though you might have some red wine at the end of the pregnancy when you deliver. I mean, it used to be that when my mom delivered us, they said like they will give you in France, like a glass of red wine after you deliver a baby.
That is so French. They're like, here's a cheese board. Like,
I know, it's so French. I don't think they do that anymore, to be honest, but they used to at least.
I think that is a tradition we need to bring back. That's amazing. That's so great.
I will. Yeah. For the cheese board, definitely. I will love that.
Yeah. That's so fun. And do you think like, okay, so you're creating comedy both in English and French. Like, did you have to adapt
Yeah.
Tweak?
Well, not on the visual, because the visual is the same, but like on the text, I feel like it was easier in English because in my head, it was in English when I created it. So sometimes I didn't have the language in French, weirdly, you know, or how to say something. But also because both of my pregnancies were in the US. So all the terms, I had it in English, right, and not in French. But my director, she's French also as well. And she had a baby in France. So she was helping me also on like, oh, that's how we say it. Oh, that's how, you know, that's the language. So we were like both on it.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, do people laugh at things differently in France?
I think so. I think, I mean, maybe like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like my comedy may be more like more for an US audience, I guess, because it's more like visual but I don't know. I'm not sure, you know.
That would be fun to do like a screening with the US audience and a screening with French and just kind of get there.
Yeah, well, we haven't done that yet, but that's a good idea. Yeah,
that could be fun. So I would love to hear what the French. I find the French very amusing.
Yeah. No, that would be interesting. Yeah, I'll ask more French people about that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you find any info, I'll put it in the intro. The update. So now, where would you dream? Is there another project that follows up that one? Like, what's your dream for it?
Yeah, that's the question. I feel like, okay, so what's next with that? I wanted to write like a bigger piece of it. But I mean, the web series is more like vignette, like, you know,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Very, very short stories. So I just finished like a TV pilot about motherhood, but mm-hmm. it's not necessarily that kind of stuff. I mean, right. Yeah, it involves maternity and women, but yeah, it's completely different. But so yeah.
Is this one that I've read parts of?
I think so. Yeah, but it changed so much. Yeah.
Right. Everyone should know, like Marina would be like, yeah, I just like wrote another pilot like this weekend. Like she's always writing. She has like another. She's like, oh yeah, I just whipped up another pilot. And yeah.
It's the same idea, but it changes all the time so much that the versions are so different.
I think it's great. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like we have to keep producing and keep writing. That's the only way you get better is just to keep, it's to do like we're saying, is just to do it and keep doing it and do it, do it, do it. And eventually,
So we'll see. I'm trying like I think the idea right now is maybe to reach out to some actually French TV to maybe sell all the mini episodes, you know, because I mean, I don't watch TV in the US. I mean, we all only watch streaming platforms, but like in France, TV is still big and like they have like tiny episodes on, you know, big French TV channel. So maybe, so we'll see, but I don't have any contacts. So I'm trying to find them and to reach out to them. So yeah.
Is there now in terms of film festivals, is that something you would put in a film festival?
So weirdly, I didn't do it for this one because I did it for Chickpeas. We did so many festivals, like so many. We won like 22 awards for best web series. We did like, I think over 80 film festivals.
Wow.
So we did a lot. And for this project, I wanted to do something totally different. And so I didn't really apply to any festivals this time. I really wanted to focus on social media. Mm-hmm. So that was something else. It was totally different. So we'll see. I can still apply to film festivals, but I didn't do it for this one.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there creating stuff and they're trying to figure out what to do. So your experience having done so many film festivals, there's obviously a cost associated.
Yeah.
So also, what's the cost associated versus benefit analysis?
I know. And that's why, I mean, it was great to have it. And I think it created momentum and a bunch of stuff. And it's good for the ego also to say, hey, we won so many awards and it's great. But for this one, I wanted to try something very different and to see like, I thought, okay, I have this. If I want to put some money, I might as well put it on social media, trying to boost some stuff, see like how I can, you know, get more followers or whatever. So that was kind of more my focus for this,
yeah,
this particular project.
Well, what did you say then? Like, would you recommend then going the film festival route for people?
I think so. I mean, I think it's great, and I will love to go back to it. But again, like, it depends, like, what's your goal, I guess. I think it's good to go. And again, it depends, like, what film festivals, of course, like, there's bigger than others and more important film festival. Right. But it's not easy to go to those, especially with web series. It's not exactly what they, I mean, there's a ton of web series, film festivals, but it's not necessarily the contact you want. I mean, it's good. Contacts are good anyway. Networking is good, but I don't think, again, it depends. I think it's good for your resume. It's great to have that, you know, and say, hey, I won some awards. It's something that people actually recognized and it was great. They loved it. So yeah, I think that's great to show also and see like how people and audiences respond.
Well, and how about, okay, so that's one part of it. How about then the other, another goal someone might have might be to sell a script or get a staff job or get, you know, become a director or get more acting work. So like what, and if those goals, like to get paying work, industry work, do you think film festivals are helpful?
I think it is if you talk to people.
Yeah.
Because if you just go to the film festival and don't talk to anyone and do no networking, then yeah, no, there's no, it's not going to do anything for you. But if you actually go out there and yeah, like do a Q&A and people come to you and, you know, I made some good contacts, but you have to network. Otherwise, mm-hmm. there's no point going to a film festival, I will say.
Yeah. And then how do you know which ones to choose? Because there's 85 million jillion.
Shakespeare's, we started doing the film festival during the pandemic. So a lot of those were online. So we didn't go there. So I chose, like, we did a bunch of them just online. Also, because we're in New York and the team is in New York, I was like, okay, we're going to apply to the New York ones so we can actually go. And after that, I was just applying to the places I would love to go. So I went to Italy, Sicily, actually. And we got there and it was so cool. It was 4 days in Sicily in like a small island. I went with all my sisters and it was just like amazing. So this one I applied because I was like, I'll definitely go. Yeah. Some like that. I was like a
smart.
Yeah. I didn't go to Hawaii, but I applied to one in Hawaii. I was like, why not?
Smart. So it's like places you want to go, festivals that are big enough that you know you can meet people. In order to get the benefit, you have to be able to say, I will go to that one.
Yeah.
So if you have a wedding that weekend, don't apply because it's like a waste of money.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of money. You have to, I mean, applying to festivals is a lot of money, but also going there. And if you want to, if you go there and if you have a big screening, like at a pretty big festival, then the idea is to invite everyone, you know, like if you're an actor, invite your agent, invite your manager, invite, you know, some people that you want them to see you on screen. So maybe you have to pay for their ticket, you know, so that's a cost. Also, just think about it.
How much do you think people should budget for film festivals?
Again, depends how much. I think we spent at least $5,000. I think at least. Oh, yeah.
Holy cannoli. $5,000 on film festivals.
Oh, yeah. At least. I think like with the travel and everything. And you know,
oh, the travel. I thought you meant the
just
the,
no, not just the submission, fees. But, you know, like going there. Right. And you have to think. I mean, we did so many. I had to think about the wardrobe because I wanted to switch, you know. Dresses all the time.
Right. I have a helpful hint for that.
Yeah.
I happen to know someone who was like, my friend's going to Fashion Week and she really needs press. And I had a film opening. So she dressed me and was
good.
Happy to, and was like, tell me when you have more stuff. So like reaching out to like, maybe I wouldn't reach out to established people because they already have their people, but like the new faces, whatever like new, and you could probably reach out to them on Instagram because these people are probably running their, like, this is it. They're just like a solo entrepreneur business, like that level, like you'd be doing that. It's like a solid. They're doing you a solid. You're doing them a solid. Maybe you just have to pay for shipping fee. Hopefully just get them in, maybe only reach out to the people in your city because then you could do a handoff. Yeah. It'll save on shipping. So yeah. Helpful hint for people. I was like, fuck. And it just made such a difference. And you're going to be in like a very uncomfortable outfit that's like way too small for you. Like my fat rolls, but like I'm a skinny bitch. And like I felt like I have fat rolls like coming off. Like that's how these are made for people who are anorexic. But like suck it in and you got an outfit.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. And I know people who did that. I mean, I have the chance to have three sisters and a mom. So I just took all their dresses. And I was like, I'll give it back to you. And I was just, you know, just switching.
Super smart. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Because those things do matter. Like it creates like visuals that you can use to promote and it does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't want to have the same dresses over and over, you know, on the...
Right. There's Marie Forleo, who we both follow. She's a business coach online. Yeah. Like she actually hates dressing up. But she knows on her show that people love her outfits and she has someone who dresses her. Like she talks about it. She promotes her and she's like, yeah, this person puts me in outfits. And I'm like, cool. Cause I hate doing it. And I know like, it's just a thing that we're in a visual medium. People think it's cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, I think it's important. So yeah.
Yeah. So another and filmmaking and fashion all come together. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So now it must be said, like your work is about motherhood and you're doing all of this and raising two kids. And I know like some people in interviews are like, I don't want to answer questions about being a mom because you don't ask that question to a man. But considering your work is about motherhood, do you have anything you want to say? Yeah. Say about that.
Oh, we can totally ask this question because I feel like, especially when I became a mom, I wanted to know, like, how do you do it with your career? And I love hearing artists, moms who talk about like how they manage both because it's fucking hard. It is. And yeah, it's, you know, I mean, they go to school, they go to daycare. That's how I survive for sure. And I can do my work. But otherwise, I kept both of them with me until they were like 8 months old for the first one and 11 months old for the second one, because we went to France for all the summer. So I wanted to start daycare after that. Mm-hmm. But even just that, it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And I was trying to work at the same time on my project. And yeah, you have to manage your time. Yeah, it's being like, don't think you can do something later. Just do it now because you never know when the daycare is going to call you and say, hey, he's sick. You need to pick him up. And I used to see daycare on my phone and freak out. I was like, no. Every time they call me, you're like, no, you know, you're going to have to pick them up. You know. They always call you for that. It's really rare that they call you for something else.
Man. So what other like time management strategies do you have for moms?
I mean, I think you don't have too much time to think. Like you have to just be efficient, productive. Like you just do it as soon as they're gone, you just work. And as soon as they're here, it's over. Like you cannot do anything pretty much.
Right. Yeah, I'm an auntie. I'm not a mom. When I hang out with them, like they want 100% of your attention. Like that's the currency that you have that they want so desperately. They want it all.
Yeah. It's so much energy, I have to say.
It's so much. And the feeding. Oh my God. They always need to eat. It's like constant.
Yeah. That the feeding is driving me crazy because I do not like to cook that much. And especially... everyone is eating something different and kids are the worst. They just don't like something. One day they like it. The next day they just don't anymore. I'm like, it's too much. It's so much to think about. So yeah, I haven't figured that out, to be honest. I'm like just every night I'm like, ugh. And my son, who's turning 6 tomorrow, it's his first question every time I pick him up from school. It's like, what are we eating? Did you cook? Did you already cook dinner? I'm like, and I told him last time, I was like, you put so pressure on me. Just don't ask me this question like right away. Like it's just too much. I have too much pressure. Just stop it.
Oh my God. He's shaming you. He's like, I know. He's Mom. Like,
what are we eating? What are we eating? I'm like, dude, I don't know.
Is he a little gourmand?
Yeah. I mean, if he could only eat ice cream, he will only eat ice cream.
My friend is raising two French kids, half French kids, and they are such, they're like, oh, I'll have my part. And they're into like organic cooking. So they're like, yeah, like I have my organic yogurt parfait in the morning. I'm like, what? Who are you? Child?
I don't have time for organic, but he does love sushi so much.
Oh my
like,
God.
They're like so Brooklyn New Yorkers, like real New Yorkers, you know, they love sushi, macaron, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
They're so fancy. Those kids are so fancy. But all of it, not just mine. They're like, you can tell. It's a new generation of like, yeah, we eat sushi. I'm like, come on.
And then they go back to France and then they're eating French food too.
Yeah, they are. They're being difficult, but they are eating. Yeah, French ice cream for sure. Like he loves ice cream. So.
And so what other advice do you have for moms? Because like, what are the things that you wish that you would have been told when you first had a kid?
I mean, just be okay to ask for help, because I think that was my main thing, but like, you know, sometimes you don't want to ask for help. You're like, no, it's fine. I'll do it all. But no, it's just if someone asks you, like, can I do anything for you? You say yes. Like, especially the first few months, a friend, like, can I bring you food? Yes. Can I bring that to you? Yes. Can I cook for you? Yes. You say yes to every single thing because you're going to need that help. It's just a lot physically and emotionally. Yeah. It depends for every woman. I feel like for me, the first few months are the hardest because you're like especially physically exhausted and there's so many hormones and it's just a lot.
I mean, it's real. Like hormones are real.
Especially I feel for maybe not just for artists, of course, but I mean, I was, especially for the first one, I didn't think I would have so much guilt of wanted to still create something. And at the same time, I could not leave him at all. I will feel so guilty, not even being in the same room as him. And I felt like it was really weird because I really needed to create. And at the same time, I felt so guilty leaving him. It was just a lot.
Wow.
Getting better.
Wow, and how did you get over it? Yeah, how did you get over it?
Well, with time, I guess. And, you know, after a while, you're like, okay, it's fine. And it's just when you become a mom, you never know how you're going to, what kind of mom you're going to be. You have no idea.
Yeah.
You don't know. And you cannot really know in advance because it will just hit you so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
And is it more, it just feels like in the US everyone's like there's so much pressure to hang out with your kids so much, which feels from an outsider feels super unnecessary because like kids flourish when they go out and hang out with other people.
That's true. That's really true. And I think it's more this generation, maybe not just the US, but I felt like for example, sometimes I remember my childhood and I'm like, I don't think my parents played with me at all. Like I was playing in my room for hours by myself and my son is so demanding. I'm like, just play by yourself. Like, stop. I don't want to play with you. Like, I don't like doing that, you know? And my husband, he plays with him because they play Legos and he loves Legos. And now he's into Pokemon cards. So he loves that. But I'm like, I don't care, you know, like just play by yourself. Like that's good for you. I think we're like, we have too much pressure on like staying with them and entertain them. It's more that it's like, you feel like you have to have 1,000 activities. I'm like, I hate children activities. I really don't want to entertain them. Just play together.
Right. Like, I was telling my mom, she's like, oh, with the boys, they just want to watch TV. I'm like, my grandmother taught me poker. Like, just play cards. Teach them how to gamble, okay? Like, teach them a useful skill for life.
Yeah, so, that's a good idea, yeah.
Because it's always different. I think that's a different reward, right? Like the random reward thing. Cards fulfills that, so play cards. I'm trying to push gambling on my nephews, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think about it, but that's it. I'm sure he will love that. I'm sure my son is into that so much. He's a negotiator. Like, he negotiates every single thing. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so, oh, yeah, of course. They're like little lawyers. I used to work for a behavior therapist. So I have a lot of, yeah, I've heard about these such things.
Oh, my God. It's, yeah. That's the tiring part. It's the negotiation nonstop.
Like my friend was saying, he's like, we were watching like his son totally like school him. And he's a guy who never deals with anyone's bullshit. And we're like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, that kid has all day to figure out how to get to me. And I don't have time for the shit. I need to just end this and move on. Like, that's it.
I know.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, so no. We always ask here on Misfits Making It, we always ask for your misfit moment when you knew that the traditional world was not going to be for you.
I mean, to be honest, I do not remember wanting to be something else than being an actress when I was a child. Like, I wanted to do that since pretty much the beginning. And I never wanted a regular life. Uh-huh. That's actually what I told my husband when we met. I was like, dude, just so you know, I do not want a regular life. I want an exciting life, an amazing life, a crazy life. So if you're not in for that, just get the fuck out.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. He was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be jump for that proposal? I guess people who are like afraid people.
Yeah. Boring. I don't know.
Yeah. Boring. Boo. All right. But definitely people who are not listening to this podcast. So I'm afraid. I feel comfortable making fun.
Yeah.
So, all right. Another question we ask is the misfit inspiration. Actually, I did the wrong sound effect. Okay, that's for the other one, but the misfit inspiration, here we go. That's this one. That one is, this is for the, like when you're in the lulls, because this is a tough business, what is something that, a quote, a book, something that keeps you inspired?
Okay, so I, it might be super cliche, but I'm a big fan of The Artist's Way.
Okay.
From Julia Cameron.
That, to be true, that book has been mentioned many times on this podcast. So I feel like it's a classic for a reason.
It's a Bible. It's an artist Bible. I mean, I discovered this book maybe now 15 years ago. And I really think, and I really believe, I will not be here today in New York if I didn't have this book.
Wow. That's huge. That is a testimonial.
Yeah, I love it. Cameron. I still do my morning page. I've been doing my morning pages every morning since pretty much 15 years now.
Wow.
I haven't done it for a while now, but every summer I will do the exercise again, like all the 3 months thing. I just love it. It just gives me, helps my creativity, I guess. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I just bumped into someone who has this amazing brand. She's a painter and she has a brand called With Love from Palm Beach. And she said she is like Artist's Way. She also does another book called Overcoming Under Earning. And she's like, I do it every year because you just realize you're creating your own limits and you just want to be able to push through it every time. And she's like about to open her own storefront is how big her brand is. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. I do like every year I do like a collage thing of kind of like
vision board.
Vision board of what my next year will feel like or something like that.
So, yeah. I love that. I even noticed like I was getting just this year, I've been doing a lot of like internal work in this way and seeing that like I was limiting myself so much. I was afraid to hope and afraid to dream because of like, what if I dream too much and I fall up short? Like what's going to happen? And so I couldn't believe it because I'm someone who like I'm doing this podcast. Like I'm someone who like, yes, dream, you know, do your thing. But like even still, there's so much work that has to be done to like, keep it fresh, keep it real, keep it authentic. It's like,
well, just remind sometimes, like, I like to also have like goals for the years. I love goals. I'm like, so I like to have like a little notebooks with okay, what are my big goals? And you know, do this exercise where, and I think it's in the artist way for sure, but like doing like, just dream of like, what do you want to be in 5 years or in 10 years without no limitation, all yeah. dreams. And sometimes, you know, you forget that, that's what I really wanted when I was a kid. And let's just not forget about it, because you Absolutely. Might have like other goals, but it's good to have the big, big goals in mind as well, you know, because sometimes.
Of course. You could just like let life and the naysayer. There's so many naysayers who are like, me, you can't, for whatever limitations they have in themselves. And then they shit on your dream.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know. I think that's the hardest part. It's like finding some people that uplift you and dream with you and don't limit you, you know. Because it's hard to find those people that are like, no, you can do it. You can, yeah, just dream big, you know, like you're allowed to do that.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And I just even noticed, like I just came back from a tour. So it was like a huge thing for me to do that. Meaning I'm someone who is not famous and I'm not super viral. I don't have 85 million followers, but I just did it. And it was like a step for me to take. And I came back and there were some people, these limited people we're talking about, who were like, oh, the great Lauren LaJudice. And I'm like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Fuck you. Wait, really? People do that? I'm like, no, come on. I think that's amazing to go on tour. That's, I mean, it sounds exciting and like,
thank you. It was all of it. And like, and just, I think that just, they're just like, oh yeah. Like you put yourself out there. Like you're so great. I didn't say anything. I was great or not. I just said, I'm doing it. I didn't say I'm better than you, but you are so insecure. You can't handle it.
I know. That's so crazy because I would never have that thought about being on tour thinking like, oh, you're thinking you're so big. I'm like, why? That's so crazy to have this thought, I think.
Right. Well, you're one of these people. So that's, there we go. So that's the, you're one of the people who can think positive and dream big. And that's why. It's
yeah.
Like,
and I also think like, if you, like you can all go and dream together. I think that we need to also help each other, you know, as artists, it's really important because I'm working right now with a really good friend for her feature, and I'm helping them produce. So I'm an associate producer on their first feature. And I'm so excited, you know, because it's great to work with people that are, you know, have the same dream as you. Like they just share this passion, and I'm not even paid for that yet at all. And I might not be, but I'm like, I'm learning so much. I just enjoy, you know, calling them every day and being this together. Just it's wonderful. Yeah. So
And it could lead to other stuff.
Yeah, it could lead, everything can lead to other stuff, I think.
Right. So let me, I'm going to bring a quick question on, I'll bring Melania Trump on. I feel like she's coming on. So I'll bring Melania Trump has a question for you.
Hello, Maureen. As yet, I know France very well. I went there. I was a big, famous international superstar model on every billboard and cover of every magazine that you haven't seen. So I like France. I go hide there when I'm not with the Donald. I go there and it's very nice to hide because you don't get judgy about hooker. So I appreciate.
That's true.
So I'm so interesting about you. You try to work. That's so mystifying. You aspire to work. I don't understand. So where does it come from? Where does it come? Why? Where does it start? Where is the core of this flaw?
To want to work, you mean? Like as a woman?
Yes, you're into like creating things and doing. It's very interesting.
I know. No, that sounds crazy that you're right, but I don't know. Like you just have that in you or you don't, but I think it's really sad if you don't create, right? I mean,
if you don't, wait, did you have traumatic experience that made you want to do things?
No, not even. I had a pretty good childhood, amazing parents, amazing family. So no, not even.
That's so interesting. Well, good luck with all of that. I will go back to spa. See you later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. There she went. Okay. She's fascinating. She is actually, I heard a rumor, she does hang out in France a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not Madonna. Yeah. I heard her. I get a lot of Madonna. I got a Melania Trump gossip. I have spies everywhere. So, where can people come find out about what you have going on, follow you and your projects?
Yeah, mostly on Instagram, just on my Instagram, Maureen Assayante, Assayante. But I mean, you can put that.
So I said it all wrong the whole time. Assayante.
Well, so in French it's assayante.
Assayante, okay.
But here, now I've been saying assayante because it's, I don't know why, easier for Americans to get it. So yeah, that's how I've been saying it.
Okay. All right.
Which is funny because my sister, I was doing an audition when I was in France. And so I was doing a self-tape. And she was recording me and I was like, hey, so my name is Maureen Assayante. And she's like, what? I'm like, why are you saying that? I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's my English pronunciation.
Yeah, Americans are dumb and we're trying to adapt, yes.
Haven't said that.
No. It's okay. I'm saying it. I'm saying, come at me, internet. Anyway, it's just noted. We're done. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to following all of it. All of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Yay. Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logi. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogi.com. Thank you to Annie McCutcheon for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com.